Jim and Linda Sims. I assume Linda's probably in the background there, but welcome to us this morning. Formerly New Tribes Mission, now Ethnos 360, as people can see from your shirt. But thank you for joining us through the technology. And it's been amazing to us to be able to use this to talk to folks like you and get an update on what's going on in ways in which you are helping the gospel go out to people around the world. And that's been your personal experience. Now you're more in the enabling role, I guess. But give us a few updates on Ethnos 360 Aviation.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your podcast this morning. And we were just reflecting. We've been part of Trinity's missions program for over 34 years, and it's just been a pleasure for us to be a part of your church and how we're reaching out and how the Lord is using that. We have some exciting news here. We've had a program in progress now for a couple of years. Our biggest emphasis, our biggest, largest program is in Papua New Guinea. And, it creates some of the, interesting challenges. It's our largest field because it's very interesting. It has the low areas called the Sepik, where the Sepik River runs, and it's at sea level. And this is just really hot, low, swampy land. And there's people that live along that river. And then you have the highlands, which for us starts to be a little more interesting because you're trying to put airstrips. And when you can't get airstrips in there, then we're using the helicopter. So one of the exciting things for us, the emphasis is beginning to shift more to helicopter work because about 3 or 4 years ago, the leadership was talking about how they're going to be utilizing our new missionaries, particularly in New Guinea. And they told us, they said, we're going to be having some new guys, some new families coming. So the leadership of the missionary training center, they told us, this was probably 3 years ago, they said, we're going to be sending you 10 new families coming to New Guinea, which is a lot of families at one time. They all don't come the same at the actual same time. But so they just said, we're going to be sending probably 10 families. And of those 10 families, 7 or 8 of them are going to be probably going to helicopter allocations. Well, when we looked at that and we just had one helicopter. It's an older helicopter, so a long ranger. It's served us well, but it's beginning to have some maintenance issues. Unscheduled maintenance was being down for quite a while. So we looked at long term, and we tried to vision what would that look like to try to serve all these new families. Plus, we have right now. We have 15 allocations where the only way that these people can be serviced is by helicopter. So that's a lot, and it's all spread out. We have the main group. We have some on the main island there in the Sepik and in the highlands. And then we have to go across the water about 35 minutes of open ocean that we fly across over to West New Britain. And then New Ireland and some of these other locations. So from one point to the other, we're talking about probably over 400 miles. Some of these might go as far as 500 miles from the maintenance base. So we're thinking we're really going to have to increase our capability for helicopters. So we had this project and it was pretty aggressive. We thought, considering we only had one helicopter there. We just said, we're going to need 3 helicopters to do what we need to do. Because from time to time, when the helicopter goes over to the islands, and that's where I used to serve on the island of West New Britain, when we go to the missionaries over there, it's 300 miles just from Goroka to Hoskins, and then another 100 miles out to some of these other islands. So it's not logistically possible to fly over there and to do the service and then to fly back. So the helicopter goes over and stays usually for about a week. And the interesting thing is we partner with SIO, who is Wycliffe. SIO serves, they're called SIO overseas. So we work with Wycliffe very closely, and they have translators, spread out all in this area, where we work as well. So we cooperate, and it's just been a really, a good situation for both of us. When we're over there, we service their missionaries as well as ours. So, but when you take the helicopter and you put it over in the islands, now you can't respond to any kind of like an emergency, or if you really need some additional service in the main island, it's just, you only have one helicopter. So we just prayed about it, and we said, Lord, we're going to ask you for three helicopters. Well, that program, these helicopters, the first one, and it's not just the helicopter itself. You have to supply it with the tools that you need. There's special tools. Because we're flying over open ocean, we have a portable float kit that we put right on the skids. So they don't use it. It's an extra 60 pounds. So we don't use the floats while we're flying over the mainland. But when we cross from the Big Island to West New Britain and the other islands, we put that on. And so, you need to add some special tools to work with this. This is a turbine engine. This is one of the blessings. We used to have our helicopter and all of our airplanes used aviation gasoline, which even years ago they told us, they said, look, this aviation gasoline is going to be a thing of the past here at some point. It's going to be hard to get, and it's going to be expensive. And boy, that was the case. This is even when we were there, it was when we were there almost 20 years ago, the price of aviation gasoline is like $15 a gallon. If we complain about $3 and $4 gallon at our pump, when we pull up the pump with an airplane or a helicopter that use aviation gasoline, you're looking at $15 a gallon. Plus, it's not readily available. So the turbine engine was the way to go. So when we discovered this, we had an R-44. This is a Robinson. It burned out of gas. So we tried it. It's a smaller helicopter than the Long Ranger by a good bit. But that was our starting off tool. And we said, we'll try this R-44 just for the maintenance aspect and just to see functionally how it works. Well, it was fine. But it wasn't the final performance. We just needed more performance from that but we knew that they were developing this R-66. So basically Frank Robinson, who is the founder and the visionary behind the Robinson helicopter, he took an R-44, which burns aviation gas, and he pulled the recip engine out of it and put a turbine engine in it. It's basically the same airframe. It's about 8 inches wider. And they put us, what we call a half seat back in the back with a seat belt. And that gave us an additional seat, which we're actually been able to use. And when, amazingly enough, when they pulled the recip engine out, it's large engine and it's heavy. So when they pulled it out, the turbine engine is considerably smaller. So when you put the turbine engine in, we put it way in the back aft. We put the firewall, which separates that from the rest of the aircraft, just for safety reasons. Then that created a space that we could use internally, which is a real blessing to us, because when we're flying out there, we get a lot of rain, and So that just keeps your product dry, and it just loading internally makes it a lot easier. So we could just see this was the way of the future for us. So we set out on a campaign where we asked the Lord for three of these. Well, the Lord is answering our prayer in a really special way. The first helicopter is paid for. It's totally paid for. And it was ready to go to Papua New Guinea probably, almost 6 months ago. There was one final thing that we had to do. We have to use an HF antenna. That's high frequency, radio in New Guinea. There's some places there where they don't have any kind of technology like we have in the States here, that works on towers. They just don't have the towers out in the, out in the bush to have good, good continuity of transmission. So we have to use a HF radio, and we'd never installed an HF radio in an aircraft. So we had to work with Australia, and the Lord worked it out so that we worked with them and got that done. So the good news is this, we got ready to ship this. Our guys called the shipping company and said, so we're going to ship this from McNeil, Arizona in a 40-foot container to Papua New Guinea. What is that going to look like time-wise? And they said, well, we've done this before for you guys, and it used to take about a month to 5 weeks. But with the COVID and all the different things that are it's associated with it, sometimes lack of labor in some of these places that operate these the ports and whatever, we're experiencing some really long and serious delays. If you guys have been watching the news, you know that out in the Los Angeles Harbor and Long Beach, they've had as many as 70 or 80 ships out there just waiting to be unloaded. So, but we know one thing, the Lord's in control and not the guys at the port. So we called the guys and said, okay, it's ready for shipping. They picked it up on the 25th of October. We own the container. Sometimes you can use the freight company's container. And it makes it easy in one way, but you don't have any control to begin with, or when it terminates, you have to turn the container over to them pretty quickly. So we bought a container so we would have control on both ends, and that has worked out really to our advantage. So, but you have to have a crane to pick up the container to put it on the 40-foot 18-wheeler flatbed. So we loaded that up on the 25th of October, sent it to the Los Angeles Harbor, and we're expecting it just to sit there just like a lot of these other containers. When you see on television and you see hundreds of these containers, I guess maybe even thousands of them. It's just amazing how they do all that. And then we got a call here about 2 weeks ago, and they said, we have some good news. And they said, what? We said, what's that? They said, your container was loaded on a ship for Papua New Guinea on the 10th of November. So they picked it up on the 25th of October. It was on a ship on the 10th of November. And the estimated time of arrival for Papua New Guinea is the 23rd of December. Well, this is just unbelievable. Only God can do this, because we've had, if you watch the news, a lot of people's Christmas presents are sitting out in the ocean on these boats ready to be unloaded, but God's in control. So we're excited about it. About 4 or 5 months ago, I had one of our aviation partners. That's basically what I'm doing now is Tom alluded to it. I work with the aviation partners. These are folks that financially help us to do what we're doing. So one of our partners called me and he says, Jim, do you guys do matching funds? And I said, we do, but we haven't done one in a long time. He said, I had a piece of property. And he said, I didn't think it was going to sell. But I said, well, I'll just see what's going to happen. So he put it up for sale and it sold immediately. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a $50,000 matching gift. So, will that work for you guys? We said it absolutely would. And so he did. And, I can just tell you the Lord has blessed, us in a special way, just financially, using this gentleman's gift. And the other people have just responded. They know the importance of the helicopter. Because if we don't have the helicopter, like in New Guinea and even in the Philippines and to begin with, New Guinea probably the most because that's where most of our missionaries are that are using the helicopter. Without the helicopter, you're not going to reach some of these people. It's not physically possible to do that. So the Lord is just, has supplied the first one. It's debt free. And then with the use of this gentleman's, matching gift and other gifts that had already, we already had in the fund there, we have ordered the second R-66. It takes $90,000 to, if you place an order for an R-66, they have a $90,000 down payment. So we went ahead and made the down payment. And the other thing about the supply thing, you know, when you look at the news and you see the supply thing, for Christmas, you know, that impacts almost everybody, but you don't think about all the other kinds of things that it impacts. Well, it impacts the people making these helicopters, the supplies coming into their factory and what they need to actually produce a helicopter has been slowed down. Plus there are labor issues or people, the COVID is really, taking some of the people out of the workforce. So Robinson is really behind, on their production. So we went ahead and ordered the second helicopter and, it's going to be, they told us it's going to be probably going to be sometime in March before we get that. So it's just been amazing how God has provided for, so two of these helicopters, two of the three, are going to be basically paid for. And then we're going to start on the funding for the third R-66. We had a really unusual thing to happen. You know, the Lord works in strange ways and we have no way to know what God's doing and how he's doing it. But we have an R-66 in South America. And we have I was telling you, we work closely with Wycliffe, SIO. We did not have a pilot, that could speak Portuguese. We had a pilot, but they have to be able to speak Portuguese there down in Brazil. So SIO, we worked out a deal with SIO and their guy was happy to help us. So he helped start our program in Brazil, with the fixed wing first. And then we had a situation where we had an airplane in Brazil. The Brazilian government, they have different states just like we do. And so they have each one of these states has their own rules and regulations over and above what the country has. So when we got ready to apply for some new airstrips, the government was not willing to do that. They didn't want us to cut trees to be making an airstrip. So that really limited us to what the use of the fixed wing airplane. It was a Cessna 206. So we went to the leadership down in Brazil and just said, fellas, this is what we got here. We're going to be restricted, as to what we can do. Would you consider putting a helicopter, replacing the fixed wing with a helicopter? And they said, we would be delighted to do that. So we just asked the Lord to work that out, and he did. So we bought a used R-66. And when you're looking for an R-66, you're looking internationally. You're not looking just in the United States. this aircraft, this particular type, the R-66, has only been in the inventory now about 10 years. So there's not a lot of them out there. So we did find one, and it was in Canada. And so we bought it, and we worked out a situation with the people to actually ferry it. So they ferried it from Canada all the way to South Brazil, which is that is a long way down there. But God worked it all out. So our helicopter's down there, and all the missionaries down there. This is in the Amazon basin. So a lot of the people live along the Amazon. That's where they grew up. That's where they were born. And that's where a lot of the ministry is right along the Amazon River. So we have missionaries down there. We've had them there for years. We actually have a school. We have an MK school that's actually on the Amazon River, right on right on the edge of one of the tributaries down there. So we had our R-66 down there. It was just a blessing to all the folks there. But the pilot, our pilot, we now have a Brazilian pilot that came. We brought him up from Brazil. He's a Brazilian national. Brought his family up. It took us a long time because of the COVID. The State Department didn't want to give him a visa. We finally got him a visa, got the family up here, and he stayed in McNeil for a year and a half. He was a fixed wing pilot when he came up. And so, but we transitioned him from a Brazilian fixed wing pilot to a U.S. airplane pilot. So we did that first, and then we cross trained him in the R-66. So when he left, he had a fixed wing, U.S. license. He also had license for helicopter. So he was, our SIL pilot, down there was going to transition him once he and the family get down there. Well, our pilot, this is about probably a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago. He's at the hangar, our airplane, our helicopter. We're building a hangar, in this city down there where we work. The city owns the hangar. And, so we had our helicopter and some other fixed wing airplane in the city hangar. Well, our pilot was out there one day just working on the airplane, just doing some, not maintenance, but some light work. And, he looks out and there's this huge cloud. He looks and he said, man, wow, that's, if I'm standing here, we assume that it did not have a door on the front. He says, I'm just going to get in the helicopter so I don't get wet. Well, he got in the helicopter. He's sitting there and this cloud's approaching, and all of a sudden the wind just gets up to a fever pitch. The walls of the hangar start to vibrate. The roof starts to flex, and he's realizing this is not just a normal wind. This is a serious deal here. So he lays down across the seat in the helicopter, and just shortly after he does that, the whole roof and the walls collapsed on the hangar and with him in the helicopter. And the Lord in his grace took the wing of an airplane that was very close there, took the wing and shoved it literally through our helicopter over the top of the pilot. So when the roof and all of that's coming down, it protected him. So when all the wind was passed and the pilot got out of the helicopter, he had a few scratches and that was it. But the insurance, it's fully, we insure through a mission group. And so they hired a consultant to go down and look to see what they thought. When he came down there, it just said it's a total write-off. So that was really disappointing, but you know, the Lord has plans that we have no way what he's doing. It was fully insured. So now we're starting to look for a good used helicopter to replace that so we can, you know, keep their, their aviation service up, and there's just not one to be found. So we took the insurance money, went ahead and took the $90,000 and made a down payment on the on a brand new helicopter for Brazil. So it will be coming. It'll be coming here probably in about 6 months. So the Lord is just continues to bless us. So we've always bought used airplanes. We hardly ever have bought a new airplane, but the Lord's working it out, and we're gonna end up with three brand new R-66 helicopters here, which is just a huge blessing. So the thing about New Guinea and the thing about the helicopter, I had the pleasure. Bubba knows, when we went over in 1988, we took our whole family. We have three boys. And, we took the whole family over there. When we started in 1988, we didn't even have a helicopter over there, that was functional. And we started out with an old helicopter. SIL had bought it. They have an approved school, and so they can get aircraft out of the boneyard. So the boneyard is where all the military aircraft, Navy, Air Force, Army goes. It's out in Tucson, Arizona, where it's really dry. So we started off with a UH-12E. That was the latest helicopter. It was a Hiller from the Korean War. So that's what we actually started out with. But it was not too long. We operated it for a couple of years, but we realized these people back in the mountains, it didn't have the performance because it was a reciprocating engine, burned out gas. The performance just wasn't good enough to do that. So the Lord got us a Jet Ranger, which I had the privilege of flying. So that's really what started the helicopter service, for New Guinea. But we realized that there's so many people that are in some of these areas. It's hard to imagine in the 21st century that we've got people back in areas that there's no road, there is no river. The only way you can get in there is a trail. And so it's just not possible to have a sustainable ministry just logistically being able to supply a family or maybe three families, having people walk supplies on a trail. And sometimes it takes like from the closest airport, it might be a two day walk. So it would be almost impossible to do that on a long-term basis because, our people a lot of time are spending 8 to 10 years, and some of these languages up in the mountains are really difficult, and it just takes a long time to learn the language so that we can present the gospel in their own mother tongue. So it's just amazing to see. 2 years ago, I had the privilege of taking one of our aviation partner out. They wanted to see our operation, and we went out and they saw it. But we flew into a helicopter allocation. And here's how it works in the mountains there in New Guinea. If you it starts off nice. There's usually not a lot of clouds. You may have some fog, but you'll have some clouds, not a lot. But by 10:30 or 11 o'clock, the clouds will start to move in. And if depending on the weather, a lot of mornings it'll start to come in around 11 o'clock. By 11:30, 12 o'clock at the latest, you'll be socked in. You'll be in the clouds. And if you're on the ground, that's where you're going to stay till the next morning. And so we're dictated by the weather a lot of times, about what we do and how we do it and when we do it. But I had just a reminder, the couple that I took, they're very energetic. They wanted to walk on some of these trails that the national people use. And so they went out, and it's always rains in New Guinea. So these trails are always, they're always wet. They're slick. And some of these people, it's just an everyday deal for them, but for us, it's a huge deal. And it's not even safe for our guys to be doing this. There's roots grow along the trail. Some of these are in the mountains or right along the edge. There's no guardrails. There's no nothing. If you slip and fall, you're just going to go, and you could go way down, and that's just how it is. So it was a real reminder to me. I got on the trail. I was just going to go and walk for a little while. And these young national guys realized I wouldn't get a bill to walk on this trail. And so they're literally propping me up. So we were walking along, and I realized, okay, I'm not going to be able to do this very long. But it was a real reminder to me what our missionaries are up against. And it just continues to show the importance of this helicopter service that we're providing for our church planting missionaries. So it's just it's been a blessing for us to be involved. And I hope you guys in Trinity realize, because you're not out there with us, but you're part of it. You're part of the team. It takes a team to do this. In our operation, in New Guinea, we have not only pilots and mechanics, but remember the church planting missionaries, they have to have supplies. They also have children. They can have the option of doing homeschool if they want to, but it takes a lot of energy to do homeschooling. If you've ever been involved in that. So it takes a lot of your time to do that, but we have a mission school. So we have school teachers and we have guys that have to keep maintenance on the houses. When we live there at the main operation at the school base, we had probably 35 families. Well, of all that, you know, that includes people's food. You've got you've got sewer systems. You've got all the maintenance for cutting grass and all of that. So you have the maintenance people. You have the school teachers. You have guys that do supplies. It's an amazing thing, just the logistical part of supplying for all these families that are out in the bush. So it's a team effort. So, it's just amazing to see how God puts all of this together. But it was just a reminder for me when I tried to walk on that really slickery trail, how important this helicopter is. And, we've had a group in the mountains over there.
Still
that,
he's
still
on the computer.
It's a group of people called the Iski people. And, the people that went in there, they just told us, they said, look, if we hadn't had the helicopter, there's no way we could have done this, could have taken the gospel to them. And the people there, the Iski people just said, look, we are so thankful that you guys came out here, you missionaries, and you came away from your homes, you left your families and to come out here, and we're so thankful because now we have the gospel.
I don't want everything I wanted to say. But so, more than I wanted them to. Jim, hold on a second. We
kind of have to keep them focused.
Yeah. We're putting you back up. We were losing power here.
Okay.
I would like, hold on a second. I wanted you to tell the story about your son and
yes.
Picked up support. We've just approved support for two of your missionaries. Our folks can't hear you here.
Okay.
So we'll get you back up on the TV.
Okay. Technology is wonderful, isn't it?
Okay. All right. We're back up on the TV.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted you to tell us about your son. We wouldn't want to go to prayer in about 5 minutes. So give us a quick update. Helicopters out there, but no pilot.
That's correct. It's just we had two pilots. 6 months ago, we had two helicopter pilots. 3 months ago, we had one helicopter pilot, and now we have no helicopter pilots. So my son is my youngest son. When we went to New Guinea, he was in the fifth grade. He's just finishing 20 years of active duty aviation service with the Army. His last day is the 31st of December. So I asked, I talked to my wife, and I said, you know what? I wonder if we should talk to the leadership and just see if they want to approach Stuart to see if he would consider doing this. Cause he didn't have a job at the time, even though he at the time that we were talking to him. So the committee said, yes, by all means, talk to him. So I called Stuart and told him what our situation was. And I just said, Stuart, this is an opportunity for ministry. We're not asking you to do this. We're just saying, if you've ever wanted to consider doing this, this is the time to do it. We really need a helicopter pilot over there, and it's not going to be instant. He's going to have to go through some training and whatever, but what do you think? A week later, he said, let us pray about it. A week later, he called us, and he said, you know what, Dad? He says, you talked to me about this opportunity, ministry opportunity. 2 hours after you did that, the HR recruiter from this defense contractor offered us a very attractive job teaching entry pilots for the Army. But they continued to pray about it. They went through the thing and, you know, just about what to do and all of that. And they have decided to not take the job and to make application with, Ethnos 360, associate program. That allows them to not have to go through the training, but, it doesn't prepare them for long-term service. But they can serve with us up to 4 years. And then there are some ways to actually extend if they want to. So we appreciate you guys praying. They have four children. They have a 7, a 5, a 3, and a 1. And, so they've got their hands full. But Stuart has always been inclined toward ministry, and his wife, she's never been involved in ministry, but, she's a pharmacist, which would be if we went to the field, we have 2 to 3 full-time doctors because there's no quality medical care in New Guinea. So Stuart is just there, just making application with Ethnos 360 for the aviation, you know, for the associate program. So they're just started the process. So just be praying for them. They just did their application, and to do that, they're going to need updated passports. And Stuart, for somebody, even a baby needs a passport now. So with all the passports that they had and the fees through the post office and then the government fees for what they did was over $600 just for the passports. So, you know, the Lord knows that, and the Lord always provides for the folks that he calls to do this ministry. So a lot of our friends are really excited about Stuart going over there and his family. So we're really great. We're grateful for them being willing to do that. So you could just be praying for them. They will toward the end of January, first part of February, they'll be moving out to McNeil. He's been flying a Black Hawk Army helicopter, which is a large helicopter compared to the R-66. So he's going to have to go through probably 30 hours of transition training, plus the other things that we work with through the aviation program and through Ethnos 360. So the plan is that they'll go to McNeil. They'll do the cross training in the R-66 when they're completed with that. There is a program that they do in Sanford, Florida for associates. Some of our teachers are associates. They come right out of school, or at some point they decide they would like to be a school teacher in a mission school. So a lot of these people are technical people that do the associate. They have specific skills. So they have what they call a pre-field orientation at Sanford, Florida, about the second week of June. So hopefully they're going to, of course, then they have to do deputation. It's going to be, New Guinea is an expensive field. There's a lot of oil and gas development there. And so they have a lot of workers that come in and out, and it's really kind of skewed the economy there in terms of what it costs. A lot of these companies, can afford to pay people large salaries to go to New Guinea. Not everybody wants to go to New Guinea. And so they're compensating to do that. But by doing that, there's a lot of inflation over there because of the way it works. So please pray for us. It's Stuart and Bryn Sims. And, so we appreciate your prayers for them.
All right. I would like for us to just go to prayer, Jim, and, I think it's interesting that we've just agreed to support two of these couples that are out there that your son basically grew up with, I guess, when
yeah.
you were.
Yeah.
And so, now he's gone too, but, so we thank you, for this update and just how the Lord is working with helicopters to support people in the field that really couldn't be there without this kind of support, or it'd be very, very difficult. It would be going back the way it was
yeah.
under you.
Exactly.
So, Bubba, could I ask you, would you start us with prayer and anybody pray who'd like to?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, just being able to listen to Jim and the ministry. Lord, I thank you for the years of service he's put in, but then even the years of service that we've had, I guess, Wycliffe and New Tribes and going back Jars, and they've a lot of them changed names, and I don't know exactly the names of them, but now that's number 360, that you would use them in a mighty way to reach tribal people that will never hear the gospel unless we get to them. And the only way we can get to many of them is through this aviation ministry, which has been faithful for so many years. So I lift up Stuart and his wife and family as they make this transition, just a continuation of the family ministry there where Jim and Linda started many years ago, and that it would make a real impact to get the word out to where it needs to go. So I do lift up Jim and Linda as they have been there many years, and as Jim continues to minister there, and for Linda and our help, that you would be with her and that you would comfort him and his whole family. So, Lord, we are blessed here at Trinity. I have these faithful missionaries that have been there for so long, and as you raise up new ones, as we send out a couple more with this ministry, you would be with them as they prepare to go and transition. So, Lord, give us a heart and passion here to reach the lost world, Lord, that you have blessed us in many years, and we will continue to do it here. So we just praise you and thank you for this time, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jim and for Linda, and their, just as Bob described, their years of faithful service, and in many different ways, from flying in the field to now recruiting partners to provide helicopters in the ways in which you use Jim uniquely in that as well. And for these people who are understanding the goal to which Jesus commanded us, really, that every tribe and tongue and nation would hear, and to be a part of this effort for Christ's kingdom, to see people in very remote places who have no idea of Jesus and your word, and yet they're hearing it because they're being supported by efforts like this, with this helicopters even. We take very much of that for granted in our own lifestyle, and yet fail to realize the complications that happen very much behind the scenes. Lord, I thank you for the way you are working there in New Guinea, and for the tribesmen that are coming to know you, the churches that are being established in these places, for the families that continue to grow. And these families we've just picked up have been there for a while, yet they're ministering faithfully there. Now, with Stuart and his family being called to go and support them. Thank you for Stuart and their willingness to do this now at this point, to raise support and to go and to be a part of this. Lord, these are just reminders to us of your hand at work in so many ways around the world. Even in this time, as we celebrate Jesus' birth and look to his return and the fulfillment of his kingdom, we know that there's a purpose in all of these activities that are building toward that kingdom and its fulfillment. And you've called us to be faithful, each one of us. Help us to do that, I pray. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.